It was one of those warm spring days which fool you into thinking summer has arrived. The sky was a brilliant blue, and the sun had chased away the Victorian ghosts which haunt Soho. The aroma of coffee drifted out of Old Compton Street's cafes and bistros. In Enrico's, the sun streamed through the large plate glass windows, giving the cafe a light and airy feel, despite every last seat being occupied by a lunchtime customer. Enrico smiled as he served teas, coffees and sandwiches. Most of Enrico's regulars work for cinematic outfits with offices on Wardour Street. Today there were also four salesgirls and two rock musicians. The custom of pop personalities was particularly welcome. It was the music of The Who, Stones and Small Faces that had brought Enrico to London. Enrico was serving coffee to a girl who sold T-shirts in a boutique across the street when seven shadows fell across the snack bar. His wife Maria, who was wiping a table, let out a short gasp. The intruders wore ski masks and were armed with baseball bats. Case led the group. He lashed out with his baseball bat and there was a sickening crunch of splintering bone as it smashed into Maria's skull. Blood spurted from the woman's cranium. Case lashed out again as she went down. Her head snapped back and she was dead before her body hit the floor. Tracy swung her bat against a table, sending crockery flying. Christine laid in at the counter. Terrified customers were showered with glass as a display case disintegrated. Alan and Wayne stood guard at the door as Chicken Feed, Catfish and Case waded in against the tea-swilling scum. Chicken Feed let fly with his fists and an art student slumped unconscious in his seat. A 35-year-old tourist backed against a wall. His hands clawed the plaster. Case had him trapped. The bat caught the American close to the heart, breaking three ribs. He slid to the floor, his face a study in agony. Catfish pulled one of the rock musicians up by the hair and slapped him around the face. The red wheels were in stark contrast to his anemic appearance. Christine and Tracy set to work on the kitchen, smashing machinery and throwing crockery to the ground. Case was laying into another customer, repeatedly smashing his baseball bat over the man's head. He continued with the assault for several minutes, even though his victim had died from the very first blow. Catfish decided enough was enough and grabbed Case by the shirt collar before proceeding to drag him out of the cafe. He barked an order, instructing the others to follow his lead. Catfish had concluded that Case was a maniac. He'd pulled him out of the cafe to prevent any further deaths. As far as Catfish was concerned, the plan they'd agreed to involved roughing a few people up. Case had never even murmured anything about murder. As they left, the raiders smashed the cafe's plate glass windows and scattered leaflets in the street. You came to a public place to drink tea and coffee. Cash crops that the International Monetary Fund has ordered third world countries to grow and export so they can pay off their debts. Instead of being used to grow luxury crops of the West, every available acre of land should be used to grow food for the hungry. Drinking tea and coffee makes you responsible for the deaths of millions. Morrissey and Mark Armando. The vegan vigilantes made their getaway in a couple of VWs they'd parked in Soho Square. Alan Wayne and Christine headed for Richmond Park. Tracy, Catfish, Chicken Feed and Case drove east to Epping Forest. I thought you went a bit over the top with the violence, Tracy chided Case, as they drove along Euston Road. It was necessary, Case replied. If you want decent publicity, you've got to kill a few people. I don't know if I can go along with that, was Tracy's rebuke. I did it for you, Case protested. I didn't have the slightest interest in veganism or ecology until we got it together. I'm prepared to risk a murder rap to help you achieve your political aims, and all you can do is moan.